You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. This is Tobin Arthur, your host on Innovation for Alpha. And today I am joined by a really neat startup that I'm excited to get to know a little bit more. Mary Gardner is leading this startup. It's called Delnova. And she is going to tell us a little bit about herself, a little about the company, and we're going to get to know them today and lean in. So Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. This is a great opportunity. So I'm very thankful to speak with you today and tell you about Delnova. So I'm very excited about the company. I was in the pharmaceutical industry for many years. And the company that I was involved with at the time, I was the director of technology assessment. So I was always scouting for new opportunities. But then this came up by chance. I thought I'd be consulting after the company was acquired by Pfizer. But someone I knew had a treatment for Botox, and she told me she looked like she had a stroke. So I thought, well, can't your physician help you with that? And the answer was, no, I have to wait for it to wear off. So I thought, well, that doesn't sound correct. It can't. There's got to be something. So I started to do research, and sure enough, there was nothing available. So I thought, well, this is a great opportunity. And I have greatest reception from physicians because the mechanism of action is defined. And I'm using a drug that was used in the pharmaceutical industry. It's used in anesthesia to reverse residual neuromuscular block. So that's how I got involved. And I'm excited about the company and I'm moving it forward.
I love it. Well, we're going to learn more about that in the background. And for those not familiar, we're going to learn a little bit more about Botox. I'll have you share and just give some context to all of that. Let's start off. Let's go back a little bit to your career in the pharmaceutical industry. As you said, you were doing technology scouting and you're currently based in San Diego, but tell us a little bit more about that career and kind of how you got into that.
Right. So prior to that, I was actually directing a technology transfer office in Canada, and I was out licensing technologies that came from the hospital, from physician scientists. And then when I moved to the U.S., I took a position on the other side of the table where I was scouting. So I've actually been groomed for this position because I've been on both sides of the table.
That's really cool. Well, you know a little bit of why we love working with startups then. It's so fun to discover cool new technologies that are solving real problems like you're doing. So that's a great background. So tell us about the genesis of Delnova. How did you discover this particular product? And then we'll talk a little bit more about the problem that it's addressing and so forth.
Sure. So the problem, as I mentioned, there is nothing on the market to reverse this spread of toxin effect. So what happens when you have an injection of botulinum neurotoxin? It blocks the release of acetylcholine. Acetylcholine is the neurotransmitter, and as a result, you get muscle paralysis. And so when the drug migrates into a nearby muscle, then you get paralysis of that other muscle area or group. And the most common effect in cosmetics is droopy eye, but then it's also an issue in medical treatments. For example, an overactive bladder, I call what you experience or may experience is frozen bladder. So you can't go at all. And so it would be ideal to have, you know, something that will reverse that side effect. It's not permanent. It is a transient, but it can last for weeks or months.
Wow.
And for the patient, that's a big problem. Might not seem so, problematic from a physician's perspective, but from the patient, that is quality of life.
Yeah, 100%. Give people some context, Botox generally, and I know there's a number of different products, but how big is that industry to begin with? And then how big is this particular, problem that's a result of that?
Right. So if you look at the market size for botulinum neurotoxins, Botox being the brand name that everybody recognizes, there are others out there, Dysport, et cetera. Xeomin is another one, Jeuveau. But this market is a $5 billion market, and it's fragmented between cosmetic use and medical use. So it's about 50-50 or 60% actually medical use now, because that aspect is growing. So the side effects really depend on the use. So in cosmetics, you have the lowest dose. So the risk of the spread of toxin is lower. So there have been studies that have shown 5.4%, for example, in a clinical study. But I'm concerned that it's also underreported in that category. Sure. And you don't have to be a physician or a plastic surgeon or a dermatologist to give these injections. So you have professionals that I understand, if they don't totally understand facial muscle structure, then the risk of these side effects is greater. So in medical applications, because the dose is so high, you can have complications up to 30% of patients.
Wow. Talk a little bit about then the solution to this. How did you discover the solution, and specifically, what is it doing to counteract the problem?
Right. So the solution is an anticholinesterase, which I explained at the start, that botulinum neurotoxins block the release of acetylcholine. And what this drug does is it increases the level of acetylcholine indirectly by attacking the enzyme that naturally degrades acetylcholine in the synapse.
So how did this get discovered? How did you come about this particular project?
Right. So as I mentioned, that I started doing research on the topic, and I found some obscure papers that suggested that if you had botulinum poisoning, that if you took an oral version of the drug some months later, that you would get some recovery of these distal or distant side effects. So then I started studying the mechanism of action, and it all started coming together, and it made a lot of sense.
So tell us where the company is today. What's the state of the business? What are you trying to accomplish at this particular moment?
Right. So I raised my first round of funding from a family office. Actually, I have a board, and my lead investor is a former CEO in the pharmaceutical industry. So I have people that are well-versed in the pharmaceutical industry that are by my side. Actually, the former chief scientific officer of the company where I was employed previously retired, and he's on my board. So I've taken that first round of money, and I've got an issued patent. It's an issued U.S. patent. And then I have a worldwide portfolio, and I'm looking to raise right now bridge funding to the next series of funds that will be required. And because it's a 505B2 pathway, that's what we expect, because it's an existing drug, then our path to market, and we're very capital efficient. So we don't need an extensive amount of money. And it is small molecule as opposed to a biologic, which is a lot less expensive to develop.
So let's talk a little bit about how much you're raising, and then specifically, what are the milestones that you are going to apply that towards?
So we are raising right now $500,000 as just bridge funding. And the campaign is live on startengine.com. So if you go to startengine.com and look up biotechnology companies, you will see Delnova listed there. And that's a very quick way to invest. Alternatively, we're looking for investors, and we can accommodate venture, and we can talk about the next round of funding, which will get us into the clinic. So we've got animal data right now supporting our venture going forward, and that was important in getting the patent. And the next phase will go to the FDA with a pre-IND package on a new formulation for this specific indication and move it forward. So that's the next step.
What kind of timelines do you anticipate for that? I realize there's always variables, but how long until you think you can get through FDA?
Well, I think 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
Because it's a fast track.
Okay. And then talk a little bit about, for an investor getting involved, what's an end game for a company like this? Where does this go?
So this is particularly attractive to the companies that are already manufacturing and selling neurotoxins. Wouldn't they love to have a rescue agent? And wouldn't they love to promote their product as the only FDA-approved rescue agent? And that's where we're going. We could take this forward, you know, because the mechanism of action is consistent across all categories. You're going to have, you know, some off-label use from one manufacturer to another, but the dose will be specific for that one manufacturer.
That's a great point, a rescue agent. That's a good way of characterizing it. And are there any predicates in the market that companies of this sort have acquired or have built internally rescue agents, or is it sort of that everybody's left up to their own devices in terms of how they're going to address this?
Right. So what I've heard, for example, from a plastic surgeon, he said he had a mother of the bride come in and she had a bad outcome and the wedding was in 3 days and there was really nothing much that can be done. You could add a little bit more on one side versus another and try to make the best of it. But really, there is nothing out there and no one else is working on anything like this as well. There are people that have tried to develop antitoxins. But the problem with an antitoxin is you have to take it within the first 24 hours of exposure to the toxin. And you don't know you have this side effect because it takes 5 to 7 days for the actual, you know, effect to actually take place.
Interesting. So it's a little ironic. You don't even know you've got it and you're supposed to take it. So
right. That
doesn't work out particularly well. Talk a little bit about the financing round. So startup engine, did you say?
Start engine.
And what's the minimum people can invest? How does that process work? How did you come about them? Talk a little bit about that.
That's right. Kind of interesting. So I attended one of these virtual networking meetings. And one of the investors said, well, why don't you try something on Start Engine? Because that's not Start Engine specifically, but there are others. There's WeFunder, there's Republic. Yep. And so I went to the top companies and they all accepted, you know, this business plan is being very exciting. And so we went with Start Engine. And so the minimum investment is $500,
which is
very low, but certainly, you know, we'd like to raise as much as we can through that mechanism.
And how does that work for you on the other end? Do you end up with one investor? Do they consolidate them into
Right, they do, yes.
Okay.
Yes, that was a key aspect because I was not aware of that before talking to this other investor.
Yeah, that's important. You don't want to end up with 100 investors. That's unmanageable over time.
Right. Some of these, it's like could be 500, it could be more.
Yeah.
All an SEC accredited program. So sure. It's very specific as to what we can claim and what we can't. So it's all above board.
Love to. It'll be interesting to watch that and kind of report on how that's worked. We'd love to know and share with the network, certainly. So as you just kicked that off, so it's live now if they go to Start Engine. And any estimates in terms of how long that should last? I mean, did they
get right? That will be live, I understand, until the end of June.
Okay.
Also, there is going to be an issue of the top 10 startup companies in Life Sciences Review magazine, and we will be featured as the editor's choice in that copy.
Okay,
that's excellent. Coming up as well.
And let us know when that goes live. We'll share that.
Yeah. Sure.
So in terms of team, as you move this forward, what's the team going to look like over the next year? What do you need to build out?
Right. So DelNova is a virtual company. So as I mentioned, we're very cost effective. Mm-hmm. And we go out and look for the best talent anywhere, you know, in the U.S. We're agnostic to location. Okay. So we've done our research here at some of it at UCSD, some at another startup or company out of University of Maryland. Then we've had a different partners in different areas, in, for example, urologists of medicine. I have a lot of support from plastic surgeons and dermatologists. They all love this program going forward.
That makes sense. Talk about distribution. So as you get to the point where you're distributing, how are you going to build awareness and what's your go-to-market strategy look like there?
Well, right now it's really trying to get FDA approval. So that's the focus, trying to go through that program. And at the same time, attracting interest from strategic partners. And that interest is already there. And they are watching us very closely. And I understand we're still early relative to where they would want to be. They want to be closer to market. But that's an important aspect. And I totally understand that from being, as I mentioned earlier, at the other side of the table.
Right. So would you envision distributing the product through distributors or doing direct to physician, direct to consumer? How do you think about that?
I expect we will partner this program either through a license or an acquisition. And that's how ultimately it will end up being distributed.
That's great. Anything that we haven't covered that's important? So somebody who may be interested and curious about the investment opportunity, or maybe a physician who is in this field, like you said, a plastic surgeon, dermatologist that says, I'd be interested in learning more about this as a solution for my patients. What do people need to know that we haven't covered?
Well, if there is more interest in understanding the incidence of these side effects, I have a white paper and it's published right now on the Life Sciences Review magazine website. And also through my LinkedIn profile, I have a number of connections. And there will be a feature on myself coming out in Modern Aesthetics based on my background and being a female CEO taking this forward.
I love it. When you let's get the link to that paper. We'll put it in the show notes so people can access that easily. When that new article comes out, let us know and we'll promote that. There's some great female entrepreneurs there in the San Diego near you. There's a company that we are really big fans of that's solving the issue of hair loss during chemo treatment. And a woman that runs that, she's very clever, very sharp, one of our favorite entrepreneurs. So you're in a good crowd down there in your part of the world.
Yeah, no, it's very supportive. And also, a shout out to my chief scientist. He's also associate professor at UCSD. Oh. And he's been a great asset.
What's his background in his field of study?
Muscle physiology.
Okay.
So I have all the muscle experts aligned and all aware and understanding the mechanism and how important this is.
Well, Mary, this is a neat company. It's a niche that people may not think about very often, but clearly there's an unmet need out there. I like how you're approaching this. It's very scrappy and, as you said, cost efficient. So we'd like to stay tuned and keep an eye on this, and we'll get links, as I said, and drive people to Start Engine and to the white paper and help in any way we can.
Great. Thank you very much. Great speaking with you.
Likewise.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.